Data Bytes, powered by Denodo. Hello, listeners. It's been a while since our last episode, and I'm surely excited to be back. We've had four incredible seasons as Denodo Data Bytes, but the data world is evolving, and so are we. It's time to set the stage for a shift in energy, a new rhythm, a bigger ambition. Welcome to AI Data Bytes, powered by Denodo. Our next level begins here. So why the rebrand? Because data is no longer just about storage, dashboards, or reporting. It's about action. We are entering the era of agentic AI, where systems don't just answer questions, they take the next step and execute decisions autonomously. And that changes everything. It raises the bar for data management to a whole new level, where speed, trust, and real-time access aren't optional anymore. They're the foundation. Denodo is at the forefront of this because AI-ready data isn't just a buzzword anymore. It requires a fundamental rethink of architecture. Today, we are diving into the recently released AI Trust Gap Report, which surveyed 850 enterprise leaders to find out why some AI projects soar, while 40% are predicted to be cancelled by 2027. To help us break down how to bridge this gap with live data and guardrails, I'm joined by our resident expert, Dominic Sartorio, VP of Product Marketing here at Denodo. Dominic, welcome back. We're very excited to have you here with us for this new chapter of the show.
Hi, Neha, and thanks for having me. It's an honor to be your first podcast in season 5. Looking forward to it.
So before we jump into the AI Trust Gap report, just to set the stage for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about what it means to trust AI?
Yeah, great question. And because a lot of the studies we've been seeing, like Gartner projecting 40% of initiatives get canceled, and there was that MIT study, 95% of AI does not get past pilot. If you double click on those reports, the root cause reason is lack of trust. The business is not yet trusting that whatever this AI is generating, whatever decisions or actions it's taking, can actually be trusted to the same degree that they would trust one of their humans. Now, why is that trust gap there? And that's really what this report was designed to double click into. And the short answer is, you know, agents are operating actually operationally. They're embedded within the guts of business workflows and processes. They're interacting with live customers. They're taking decisions and actions in real time that will have an immediate impact on the real world. So they are operational in nature. And there have been gaps that prevent an AI from being trusted in those contexts. Those gaps include, is the agent actually aware of its current situation? What is the context in which it's acting and is being asked to act or make a decision? Does it have that live situational awareness? Then is it using the right data for that given situation? And that's also been a challenge sometime. It's pulling the wrong data from the wrong sources for that situation. And then third, there's a myriad of different guardrails and governance policies and regulations that apply around AI. And often there's not yet the trust that the AI is actually operating within those guardrails. So trust does mean a variety of things, but it adds up to an organization saying, look, any of those three issues could be in play. If any of those three are in play, then we're not ready to adopt AI and give it like the keys to our business kingdom, as it were, and be able to take independent decisions and actions that to the same level that we would trust a human to do.
Perfect. Thank you, Dominic. Yeah. The AI Trust Gap Report shows that 66% of organizations believe AI data needs to be real-time, or at most no more than a minute old, to be trustworthy. So why has data freshness suddenly become such a hard requirement for AI systems?
The name of the report, The Trust Gap. And we did do this survey to double-click into that gap and where are these trust issues coming from. So there were three main ones, and you've asked about the first one, which is the live data or the freshness gap. And indeed, 66% of organizations say that for their AI to be trustworthy, then the data needs to be live or needs to be fresh at least within a minute of that data originally being generated, whether it's a transaction or some other event happening in the business. If AI is accessing only older data, then you cannot trust that its decisions are up to date. Cannot trust that it is leveraging the most recent and current version of reality, as it were, in making its decisions. The reason for that is most agentic AI is operational in nature. It is taking an action in real time as part of a live business workflow, or it could be interacting with a live customer in real time, or be taking any other decision or action that is going to have an impact on the real world at that given time. It's operational in nature. So any kind of data architecture or solution for delivering data to that AI that is not able to give it access to live data reasonably up to date within the minute is then less trustworthy in an operational context. And that's what we found many organizations are doing, unfortunately. They may be leveraging pre-existing data architectures that heavily depended on data pipelines, copying data from live systems and putting it in some central location like a lake house. And then that's where their AI agents are running from. But that data is no longer live. And often they don't come to that recognition until they're running the pilot or even later in production. And they say, hey, this AI is not making decisions that make sense given for the live situation it's in. It looks like it's working out of an out-of-date view of the world. And yeah, it's because that data is not live. So 2/3 of organizations say that that's a hard requirement. Data needs to be live, definitely.
That makes sense. Thanks for covering this, Dominic. So live access is one part of it, and it looks like the rightness is another. So coming to this segment, 63% of organizations struggle to even identify the right data for AI. So why does semantic consistency become such a massive gating factor for these AI agents?
Yeah, that's the second of the three big trust gaps is, we call it the relevance gap, or identifying what is the right data. So many organizations, they do have metadata management in place, right? They may have a data catalog or similar, where for every critical data source, they may have a business glossary for it with business terms. They may have some other metadata, some other descriptions of what that data is used for. Okay, great. Now, on the other hand, though, an AI, again, is running operationally, and operational situations can change over time. Business conditions can change over time. An AI agent may be acting based on a specific prompt that it was given, or a specific event that's happening that it needs to react to. And that prompt or that event is going to have its own context associated with it. That context is not known until the time it happens, until that live situation arises. So if you're only depending on a semantic layer or some other metadata description of your data that's just cataloging what that data is, that's not enough. You also have to understand how to match that data with whatever that live current situation is. And let me best explain this by example. Customer data, I think, is easiest to understand. Most enterprises will have customer data residing in various different applications supporting various aspects of their business. They may be using Salesforce for sales data, and that captures all their sales interactions with a customer. They may be using ServiceNow to manage customer support and help desk interactions. They may have billing and invoicing systems to bill the customer and manage their payments and transactions. You may have marketing, may have a voice of the customer kind of app where they're monitoring customers' feedback on social media channels and so on. So those are all examples of customer data captured in different systems serving different parts of the organization. Now, all that data could be completely correct, 100% correct, accurate, no issues with data quality. Now, a customer request comes along, or some other event happens in the business where an AI agent needs to interact with that customer. Which of those four systems is that AI agent going to go to? Each of those four systems will have overlapping data about that customer, representing different aspects or different parts of the business that customer may be interacting with, which is fit for purpose for that specific aspect. How does that agent know which one is correct and appropriate to look at? It completely depends on the context that agent is operating in. So the ability to match that context with your underlying metadata is critical. And many organizations are not prepared for that. They may have a data catalog or similar that's full of metadata describing the data they have, but it does not match and align with whatever context that AI is running in. So that part is critical. Now, I gave an example with customer data with just four systems. Consider the average enterprise is pulling data from over 400 distinct sources to feed their AI. That is a lot of data sources in different applications where customer data, product data, financial data, or any other data could potentially be residing in. And which one is actually the authoritative source of truth for whatever that agent is acting on at that given point in time? Very hard problem, critical to solve that. Many organizations just don't really have a good answer in place for that.
This is really interesting. Thanks for sharing, Dominic, and a great example in terms of managing customer data and having a contextual view based on these AI agents and the way they access different sources of data available in different areas. We have covered the importance of freshness of the data and rightness of the data. And now we are coming to the third segment, which is very crucial and sometimes gets very worrisome for enterprises, the guardrail gap. So 67% of respondents are struggling with AI data security. Why are traditional security models failing in this agentic world?
Yeah, you picked up on the third of the three big gaps. We call it the guardrail gap. Yeah, they are struggling with security and access controls for one big reason. It's just the sheer volume, the quantity of AI agents, the speed at which they spin up and need to act. Typically, most organizations have stood up data management infrastructure with data security that defines access controls intended primarily for human users. And human users, they can be named. A given human can only do so much in a given period of time, access so much in a given period of time. Applications could also be connecting, but usually the applications are a pass-through of a human role or privilege. But what's happening with agents is agents, in some of them, they're essentially doing and acting what the human in that same workflow would be doing. But they're doing it at much higher volumes, much greater concurrency, maybe doing it at different points in time. So there's a challenge of like keeping up, especially as those agents are dealing with different business contexts, as we talked about in your last question. You're also dealing with the fact that often many organizations are seeing an opportunity with agentic AI to do things that they just could not do before, because the humans just did not have the bandwidth to do it, or it wasn't cost effective, but now suddenly it is. So you see new workflows, new business processes, new ways of interacting with customers being innovated and being fully agentified right from the very beginning. What should the right access controls be for that, right? And so often that's overlooked as organizations are innovating and running full speed ahead in building out their agentic AI portfolio. So it's important to get ahead of this, which is every time there's a new use case identified by the business that they want to agentify, there needs to be some mechanism. In some organizations, we've seen standing up a governance council where there's representation from that business team, from a security team, from the data team, et cetera, so that you can make sure, okay, do we have the right policies in place to ensure data privacy and security are honored. But I want to say one more thing about the guardrail gap. It's more than just traditional data security and privacy. That itself is hard enough, as I just talked about, because agentic AI essentially is multiplying the problems that you had to deal with when just humans were in the loop. The issue is there is additional guardrails in place that are unique to AI. And if you look at various regulations around the world, like the European Union's AI Act, there's additional regulations that they're putting in place. First, to help engender trust, ironically, they're requiring that anytime an agent is generating something or taking a decision or an action, you need to be able to log and show what data did it use in order to generate that. So we call that the explainability requirement. Explain your work. What data did you use? And that's a way of engendering trust that the agent is in fact doing what the data guided it to. There's other requirements as well. The EU does this. We're starting to see this in some of the United States as well, around ensuring that AI's actions are ethical and bias-free. You can imagine agentic solutions for loan underwriting or approving insurance policies or approving a mortgage for buying a house, where you could have disparate impacts by ethnicity or other demographic criteria. And so simply put, an AI could be making decisions that are not bias-free. It could be because that's where the data was pointing it. But regardless, you need to have policies in place to ensure, you know, that you have bias-free and ethical outcomes. So how do you do that? How do you monitor for that? That's also a data problem, as it were. So you have this multitude of guardrails that are broader in scope than anything that preceded AI, you know, all of which are challenges that, you know, the AI teams need to implement, need to come to grips with. And fundamentally, they're all data problems. They're about access to data, monitoring and logging what data is used, measuring outcomes, actual AI outcomes versus desired or intended outcomes. These are all fundamentally data problems that can be solved if you get ahead of them and if you identify those problems and have a good solution in place beforehand. So that really is the essence of the guardrail gap. You know, not only are you not keeping up with existing security and privacy measures, but there are these additional types of guardrails that organizations have not had to deal with before. But now with AI, they have to deal with them.
Very well explained. Thank you, Dominic. Now, we see a lot of companies betting big on lakehouses, but the report says nearly 60% of people using them still struggle with performance for AI. So how does Denodo's logical approach supplement platforms like Snowflake or Databricks?
Yeah, great question. And that was one of the surprises, actually, in the research is out of the 850 we surveyed, 60% said they have a lakehouse and it's being used as part of their AI initiative, but they reported no difference in saying that they were struggling with performance. And there's some reasons for that. The two we identified by some follow-ups, number one, is just the sheer volume of AI agent workload. You have agents running with high concurrency, you know, each banging on the lakehouse with, you know, with sometimes complicated queries that are running concurrently. They may be hitting large data volumes. And if you do that all against a lakehouse, that's a tremendous compute cost that adds up over time. And it doesn't scale very effectively. So that's one aspect of the performance problem, just the ability of the lakehouse environment to keep up with higher and higher data volumes, higher and higher concurrency of many agents running at the same time. It's hard to keep up. The second is challenges. They often, you know, given they have a lakehouse sort of centric architecture, they have to deal with the freshness gap, right? The live data problem that we talked about earlier. So they'll try to stand up these real-time data replication jobs to copy data over to that environment as quickly as possible. And sometimes you can achieve sub-minute or even just multiple seconds of lag that way. But it's extremely expensive to do that. We see customers trying to do, you know, log-based or trigger-based change data capture solutions. And you have these replication jobs always on, running in real time, constantly copying data. That gets very expensive very fast. And if you try to scale that up across large volumes of data, it's just not going to perform adequately. So that's what we see happening when you try to apply a lakehouse kind of architecture to agentic AI workloads. So the way around that is first recognize you don't need to copy the data. Just don't copy the data unless really the best authoritative source of data happens to be that lakehouse or wherever else it had been copied. Most of the time, it's the original application, you know, transactional application or data source where that data first originated. So instead of having to copy it somewhere else before the AI can use it, just give the AI direct live access. And our logical data management platform allows exactly that. We enable providing a single view a single access point for all your agents. The agents simply call that view. And behind the scenes, we execute the query to that precise source system to pull out the live data you need in real time. We have the ability, honed over 25 years of Denodo's existence and the product's existence, of optimizing for queries. How do you execute federated distributed queries with high volumes of data, you know, down to things like join order and so on? And then you can tune, right? How much of that data can you cache? You know, maybe you don't need sub-second, sub-minute, or sub-hour is enough. You can cache some of it and still get some advantage because you're only querying what changed since then. So there's a lot of different optimizations you can take to once you're enabling direct access and you're only pulling out exactly the data you need. If you solve for the relevance gap, like you know exactly what data you need for the context you need, then you're not dealing with high data volumes either. There's probably just a handful of records that you need to query from your original source system. So it becomes a very lightweight query executed in real time, pulling out the precise live data records you need, and then the AI is off and running with it. So you didn't have to copy massive volumes of data beforehand. You don't have to worry about, okay, how do I optimize high concurrency, high data volume queries against the lakehouse? You know it up front exactly what data you need. It's probably down to a few records. The AI is executing that through a common view. Under the covers, we're hitting the live source system directly, just pulling out those exact records. And that is much more performant, much more optimal, also much more cost effective from a compute perspective than the alternative. So we are seeing some of our customers, they were not part of this survey, this was a broad global survey, but some of our customers who are using Denodo to support agentic AI workloads, the benefits are tremendous, where they've reducing compute compared to a lakehouse-centric architecture, you know, by over 75%. The concurrency and scalability metrics are a lot better. So we're already seeing the results with some of our customers.
Thank you, Dominic. That was very informative. And my last question for the day is, with responsibility for AI now spread across IT and business functions, what's your best advice for teams trying to move from a pilot to a production-ready AI strategy?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And my answer is part organizational and part like actual methodology of planning, like the actual technical work of building an agent. First, always start with a business outcome in mind. You know, the pilots with a higher propensity to fail, you know, just independent of everything we've talked about so far in this podcast, is, you know, lack of a clear business outcome in mind, right? So if it's like a science project or just trying to explore maybe what's possible, you know, and then you have a great hammer and you're looking for nails, to use that analogy, much more likely that pilot's not going to go anywhere because, you know, you haven't really optimized for anything in particular. You have to start with business outcomes in mind. Okay, I want to build an agent to automate claims processing or to automate a customer onboarding process or whatever that business process may be, where you feel agentic automating it through agents is the way to do it. And then work back from there. Okay, what data do I need from what systems? What are the latency requirements? Like how live does it have to be in order for that agent to do that job successfully, right? And then from there becomes sort of a typical data management, data integration initiative that you would do with Denodo. But always start with that business outcome in mind. Now, what that implies then is there has to be a business exec sponsor. There needs to be a business owner who's owning that outcome and owning that this AI agent is successfully achieving it. So the business has to be engaged. It can't be a model where some central AI team or data team or other technical team is just building this stuff and just trying to push it out and see who's willing to take it. It has to be outside in. Definitely you need a central AI team because that's where your technical expertise is, your center of excellence. That may be where the resources come from to build agents, but the business needs to take ownership and they need to drive, this is what success looks like. Another kind of organizational aspect, and I briefly mentioned this earlier, is there should be an AI governance council, right? Precisely because the guardrail gap, just the sheer scope of types of guardrails is so broad. And, you know, it could be a virtual team, but you should have the business owner represented. A security or privacy office should be represented. You may have legal representation as well, especially if you're looking at complex regulations like the EU's AI Act. And then you have like the data team or the people who are building the agent, the technologists there. And, you know, they should review every use case that the business has in mind and identify, okay, here are the different guardrails that are applicable. Let's make sure that those are in fact enforceable and they can be implemented as part of that project. We do have customers who have stood up that kind of governance framework. Those that do, far more likely to have achieved the guardrails and not, you know, break trust for that reason alone.
Thank you so much, Dominic, for the insightful insights and for being the perfect guest to help us launch AI Data Bytes with a deep dive on the AI Trust Gap report today. You know, it's clear that being a pioneer in the data industry means moving beyond good enough data and towards a foundation that is live, contextual, and governed for organizations. So thank you for sharing your thoughts today.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. And to our listeners, the show has a new look and our mission has expanded. We are here to cut through the noise and define the new standard for how the modern enterprise handles its most valuable asset. We are not just watching the evolution of AI, we are building the world of data architecture that makes it possible. So you can find the full AI Trust Gap report and other resources at Denodo.com. To our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, head over to denodo.com/podcast for more resources on the world of AI, trustworthy data, and modern data management.